Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Kia, Sam McClure and Jared Healy with you up until 7 o'clock. We started by talking about the cricket. We're going to talk a little bit of NRL with Brandon Smith, but it is always footy season here in Melbourne, Jared. Not just on the field, but off the field as well when there are board elections up.
Reminds me of a Scott Palmer line he told me once when I was first in the media and I asked him, what's your approach to footy? He said, well, you give them footy, you give them a bit more footy, and when they've had enough footy, you give them a bit more footy.
And that's exactly what we're doing. Jennifer Holdstock is a Hawthorne board aspirant, the principal of law firm Holdstock Law, which you started, Jennifer, and you join us live in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your story. You've been trying to get on the Hawthorne board for some time now, and there are now two positions up for grabs and three applicants.
Yes, that's right. So I first approached Mr. Kennett in 2010 and expressed my interest. Subsequently, I approached Andrew Newbold a couple of times too, so I've indicated over a long time my willingness to contribute. I haven't been given the opportunity, so when I knew there was going to be an election this year, I put my hand up. Personally, it was the right time. My 96-year-old grandmother and a Hawthorne stalwart died in November, and the last time I saw her, I told her I was going to do it. So it's a personal decision, but also I've been wanting to do it for a long time.
Why do you want to contribute at board level, and what do you think you can contribute?
Well, at board level, it's about having equal representation for the members, having some representation for the members. I know the members haven't felt heard for some time. We haven't had an election for 10 years. 50% of the membership are women, and we've got a new AFLW team joining us. And I think it's time that we had greater female representation on the board.
So my understanding is there's already two women on the board.
That's right.
Katie Hudson and Anne-Marie Pulitzer. Yep. So two is how many are on the board?
We've nine.
Got nine. So two of nine is obviously an underrepresentation. Why do you think you haven't been successful so far in getting on the board?
So the reason given to me is that they've always had a lawyer on the board and they don't need two lawyers on the board. I know Mr. Kennett's view is that you need a good range of skills on a board, and I agree with that. I think any good, robust board is made up of individuals that bring different skills. The same lawyer has been on the board for 10 years and he's coming off next year, and I think he has a huge area of responsibility, a huge portfolio that he's in charge of, risk and compliance, and having a double up for a year so the new lawyer can learn what it's all about is probably not a bad thing.
What's your expertise as a lawyer?
So I manage commercial resolution for disputes. So we do a whole range of commercial disputes, including workplace relations. And I guess it piqued my interest, the exit of Alastair Clarkson and how that was handled, because as a litigator, I had some ideas about how it might have been handled differently. So I think I bring a different skill set than the existing lawyer, and I think the club could probably use my skills.
Have you received unfair treatment from current people on the board, do you think?
So I've been approached by members of the board and also people from Hawks for Change asking me to withdraw my nomination. And no proper reason was given to me other than...
So Hawks for Change is Ian Silk. The Hawks for Change are pushing up Ian Silk to be the next president?
Yes, that's right. So it confounded me a little bit because they say that they're about greater diversity on the board and then they put up two men candidates and haven't supported me. They've also said that they want members to be represented more on the board, and then... You know, they've discouraged me from running. And in terms of the board members, it was very much a case of not having two lawyers on the board in terms of that double up of the skill set.
So I'm a little bit confused here. Do you think that Jeff Kennett and the current board have put pressure on you not to run? And if so, and for that matter, Hawks for Change. And if so, why? I mean, your credentials speak for yourself. So why would they be anti you joining the board?
I don't think they have encouraged me to stand down. And I tell you what I don't understand is that if we had 40% female representation on the board, we would be eligible for state government funding. We're going into a double election year next year, state and federal elections. We are, by our very nature of the makeup of the board, ineligible for state government funding. And I cannot work out why I'm being discouraged from running when even with me, we wouldn't reach that 40% target.
How have you rated Jeff's performance overall?
Look, I think we've come out of a pandemic with a plus on the financial side, and I think that's extraordinary. Mm. Having said that, I think that every team has been decimated by the last 2 years, and the rebuilding phase coming out of the pandemic is going to be huge. So I don't think that he is going around saying we're in the best position that we've ever been in. I don't think any club can possibly be coming off the back of the pandemic. I think there's a lot of rebuilding to be done and we need to focus on that. We also need to listen to the members because he now knows from what's happened to him that the members are unhappy and they want to be heard. They want to have a greater say.
Do Hawthorn have a gender problem at board level?
Well, by the nature of the fact that they can't get state government funding, I'd say the answer is yes.
And why do you think that is?
Because they leadership? Don't... Well, look, I think there's a cultural problem there. I think you can see what's happened with Alistair Clarkson, an employee of 18 years and four flags, and the way he exited. None of us are privy to what went on at the board level, but what
no, I... Jared and I have both been strong on the fact that... I'm not going to speak for Jared. It was embarrassing what happened.
Well, we don't know what happened at the board level. I've been assured that Alistair Clarkson's welfare was the number one consideration. What I do know is that as a member, the way it played out was embarrassing and appalling. We were told one thing about good governance, and then 2 weeks later, it was a complete shambles. The way it played out and the public message that was portrayed to members was embarrassing. And if that's any indication of the culture, there needs to be change. You cannot have an employee of 18 years' experience exited in that way and expect members to be happy.
Where does that instability come from, do you think?
Look, everybody has to take a responsibility for that, I think. Management and the board have to take responsibility for what happened. But also the fact that members are not being listened to, there hasn't been an election for 10 years and what, they're not being given the
opportunity. Why hasn't there been an election for 10 years?
Well, because the board has been handpicked according to their skill set.
And isn't that the right approach?
No, I don't think so. I think if that's the approach you want, amend the constitution. You cannot have a constitution that says every year there will be an election and people have the opportunity to put their hands up, mm-hmm. if they're eligible, of course. And people who don't have the appropriate skill set are not going to put their hands up, let's face it. So the constitution says if people want to try, they should have the opportunity to do so. Let the members vote. If I don't get in, that's because the members have had their say, but at least they've had an opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, but at the end of the day, you still need a vast variety of skills, as you have rightly put out.
Absolutely.
A lawyer, an accountant, a media person, a revenue raiser, etc. So whichever way you get there, you do need to have a wide variety of skills on the board for it to function at best.
Absolutely. And Tim Shearer has been working very hard on getting funding for the Kennedy Centre. But also, he could work less hard if there were 40% women on the board because we would get government funding.
How much government funding would you get?
$15 million.
Gee. That'd sway me, Scoop. $15 million.
Well, I'm just... Yeah.
I've been out past the Kennedy Centre many times, going out to Din Centre to get a few flowers. And it's a big area. It's going to need a lot of money.
Yes, that's right.
So why would they overlook $15 million, Jared?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's probably a question for Jeff.
Well, I think it's probably a question for the next chairman or president.
So what's the process now, Jennifer? You've got voting soon and then the results?
No, so voting's
December,
open.
Okay, December 14 results, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So voting's open until the 12th. We had an update today. We've only had 11% of members vote, which is really disappointing. Of the 44,000 eligible members, we've only had 11%. They've got 2 weeks from today. We find out 2 weeks today about this time. Voting closes on the 12th.
Okay, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jennifer Holdstock there, Hawthorn board aspirant. A lot happening there on the Hawthorn board. A lot happening with the Collingwood board, which we still... She hasn't got a result from, by the way.
Might have some more information on that tomorrow night, the Collingwood board scenario. I've got someone who wants to come on and have a chat as well.
Is it Jeff?
It's not Jeff at the moment, no.
Someone else. Okay, it's becoming board week.
It could well be.
I like it.
It's B-O-A-R-D.
Not B-O-R-E-D. More sports day after this.